Is it going up?
Oh, yeah, we're recording. Hello out there. This is Trent Baird.
Hey, this is Spencer Buchanan.
And we are going to do another Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
What?
Hooray. All right, so...
I'm okay, just, you know, with the introductions. I think maybe we should do that.
No, I don't think we should. I think we should. I'm going to stop it. We're not going to do this.
No, we're stopping it. Just keep going.
All right.
We committed not to stopping.
All right. That is true. Oh, I forgot to turn it on. All right, I got to fix my phone real quick.
Oh, so we actually do have to stop it.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I think we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
But I just need to... With iPhone 6, mm-hmm. or iOS 6 update, there's an excellent new feature called Do Not Disturb, which I'm going to turn on, maybe.
You know, my Android phone's had that for years.
Oh, well, good. So, my iPhone is imitating your Android phone.
Yes.
How strange is that?
Every update, they're like, look what we can do, and then Google says, look what we've been doing for a year.
Yeah.
You know, which is funny, I am pretty much a Mac fanatic. I appreciate everything Mac, but saying that they're the best and the greatest of everything kind of gets my goat every now and then, so.
Why? If they are?
Because they're not. I guess they're not.
Why do you say they're Google's, not?
Are you
saying that Google is?
No. I'm saying that no one is. I'm saying everyone has their own little slice of the pie, which... I just read this really interesting article that we sued Microsoft to stop him from monopolizing everything because mainly because of the monopoly that Microsoft was getting in having an operating system and an internet browser, which is like totally ironic since Microsoft's still in the game with an internet browser and an operating system. Google's got their own operating system / internet browser and Mac. Apple has their own operating system and very specific internet browser. It's like so interesting how we tried to stop it. And
who tried to stop it?
It was one of the
in the 90s or
something? Yeah, back in the 90s when Microsoft was... People were concerned that Microsoft was owning the monopoly and I think I forgot that. The legal name that they have for monopoly, but I was waiting for
monopoly?
Mr. Moneybags.
Isn't it Monopoly?
That's no, there's another name for it.
Oh.
Anyways.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Is it vertical integration?
No.
No? Oh.
That's a good development term to be used.
All right.
Anyways, it just proves that Google's still awesome. Mac's awesome, but putting them on a pedestal doesn't mean a whole hill of beans because they're all pretty awesome.
They are all pretty awesome. They're also all pretty horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
they all have their benefits. I mean, Apple's, it's such a closed system, and really it's not anymore, but the fact that their system is so contained and they manage the entire process from hardware to software,
mm-hmm.
you know, is criticized, but at the same time...
Makes
it very stable, and the only reason I'm excited and willing to sell my iPad for a Microsoft tablet Surface is because they're manufacturing the hardware as well.
Who? Microsoft is?
Microsoft is manufacturing from nuts and bolts to the software. And I thought, that's a Surface that I want to play with. And Google,
I most certainly agree with that.
Yeah. And so, like, all of a sudden, there's that openness that comes from Android, and let's just put on any device, and we have some woes there, especially as a developer, because the fragmentation, not only from the operating system versions, but the fragmentation of the specs of every phone is a nightmare to have to deal with, but you go, iPhone.
And that's just looking at phones,
that's
right?
Just the phones. Like, yeah, we're not even talking
Kindles
about computers.
And
then tablets, I hear, is even a nightmare. I haven't done anything on the tablets. I'm making right now an iPad game, and I mean, the only concern we have is, well, iPad 1 doesn't render high-resolution images as well as the other iPads, and we're like, okay, is that it? What else you got? You know, give me something else to deal with. So it's fortunate, but at the same time, you have all that openness with Google. And I appreciate the iPhone just because if you want something to work right out of the box, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should not buy a Google phone an Android phone unless you plan on rooting it within 24 hours. Because that's the whole point of it, is you get to put whatever you want, you get to have the coolest little tweaks, because everyone's modding for it. And the community is what makes that strong, not the fact that it's open. It's
and stable.
That's
debatable. Well, I mean, the more value, stable?
No, it's more stable, but it's obviously more effort that you have to put into that device. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like Linux users, but Linux users like things the way they want them. And that way they build it, and they rerun the kernel every time they want to make a tweak, and they're like, I have the perfect build, whatever. And I get the sense that Google people like, Android users like that too. If you're trying to, I worked for an Apple store, okay?
Okay. Wait, which one?
Simply Mac. So the third-party Apple store. Not the Apple store. Yes, I just was not snooty enough. And I say that with one of my friends actually working at the Apple store, and he's not that snooty. But...
You know what? I've always, every time I've gone in there, people have been super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and ours was even cooler because it wasn't, like, way freaking busy, and so we were able to focus on the customer. Mm-hmm. But I had an Android phone the entire time I worked there, and every time I was like, well, what should I get, an iPhone? And I was like, listen, we don't sell iPhones, so I can give you an honest opinion because I don't care. I'm not trying to sell you on product in my store. And I said, here's my Android phone. I love it. I use it every day. It's exactly how I want it because I modded it exactly how I wanted it. I said, do you know what rooting is? And they go, no. And I said, get an iPhone. It's like, it's that simple. If you're that techie, you're going to want something that you want to hack and tweak. If you just want some out of the box, you get something else. And so all of a sudden, Google's awesome. But also an iPhone's awesome and Apple's awesome because of different things. And so it's the benefit that we're not forced just to have one option. And so... Was that a good enough rant for Apple v Android?
I think that was a great rant.
That was a great rant.
Although I totally missed my opportunity for a joke, so I want to go back to
joke.
Windows new Surface tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's the red ring of death going to be on that?
It's going to be on the cover. That would be nice joke.
Yeah, you should make it your wallpaper. That would be hilarious.
What?
The red ring of death.
On my wallpaper on what?
On your Surface.
That would be...
Because it's a product manufactured by Windows, right?
Yeah.
Right. They're in charge of the manufacturing.
No, it's got to be a yellow error because we had the blue screen of death forever, then we got the red screen of death, so it's got to be yellow or green.
Let's talk about the yellow. Green doesn't make sense because that's how it works when it's turned
good.
On.
Yeah. Well, so it can't be green.
All right, we could probably debate whether or not green is good if it's turned on. Mm-hmm. But let me talk to you about yellow. Have you ever heard of the yellow light of death?
No.
Me either. The PlayStation 3 has this awesome problem where the CPU or the GPU, one of the two or both, mm-hmm. will, just through normal use, unsolder themselves from the motherboard. The motherboard.
Yeah.
Guess how I know this?
Has it happened to you?
It happened this last week.
No way.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it gives you a yellow
light? By awesome, I mean not awesome. Yeah, so you turn it on, it turns green, right? It looks like it's loading up as normal. And then it waits a few seconds, it turns yellow, and then turns this flashing red. It's the worst. Because you can't get any discs out. If you rent a game or something... And it's not something where you can take apart the disk drive easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you can get in there if you really need to. But you can't really take the disk drive apart. However, I did find this awesome fix on YouTube. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to void my warranty tonight. So I pulled off the sticker. I got out my Torx wrench or screwdriver and some screwdrivers. Took the whole thing apart, took a heat gun to the motherboard, resoldered everything, put it all back together, turned it on, totally worked. High fives.
Oh my gosh. Wait, you did a heat gun or a soldering iron?
Heat gun. Because...
So you're not actually resoldering things?
Well, I'm not going in with the soldering gun and resoldering it, but basically what I did was I remelted the well, there's one of two things that happened. Either the motherboard warped
Oh my god!
Because of the heat. Because we watch Netflix all day long.
Well, is it like covered in a box where it doesn't have any ventilation or?
It was covered in like 6 years worth of human
dust
cells.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was full of dust. It was pretty Gross. Bad. We probably should have vacuumed it like 6 years ago.
Wait, and you every have 6 years and it's still under warranty?
No, it's not under warranty. But it's got the sticker.
And Sony's amazing. It's way better than Xbox. Their warranty's a week, 2 weeks?
Xbox?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it really depends, I think.
If it's a red ring of death, the warranty was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only red ringed once.
Really?
Yeah, it was nice.
I've actually heard that most of it's because of heat and soldering issue, and if you know what you're doing, you can re-solder.
It is. You wrap it in a towel.
To cool it off, or what?
Nope, no.
Wrap what in
To warm it up and re-solder itself. You wrap your Xbox. If you get the red ring of death...
You just wrap it up to let you call, it get hot again?
Yeah, you call Microsoft support. Uh-huh. You have them send the coffin. Uh-huh. And while you're waiting for that, you want to keep playing your Xbox. So you wrap it in a towel. It will re-solder itself for a short time. Basically long enough for you to receive that box that you got to send it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that.
That's funny.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
So on that topic of death, we're going to talk about health because there's a
perfect.
TH in both of them. Let's change subjects. We came here tonight because we wanted to gripe about John Blow, and we'll see if we can get there. But
there's something I wanted to do first.
What?
All right. So, what I want to do is invite Karate in.
Is he done?
Oh, you know what? He's walking away. But I also, I want to thank a few people, and then I want to talk about what we're playing. So, bring Karate in, we want to talk about what we're playing with him, too.
Hey, Karate.
Alright, so, Spencer's getting Karate, which is awesome. Yeah, we'll make room. There's not a lot of room in here.
We come to you, Spencer Buchanan and Trent Baird, coming to you from Bob's Memorial Fart Booth.
Gross.
I hope that's not what this is called.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it for the park. It's Bob's Memorial Fart Booth.
This is a terrible.
Assuming that he's dead, though he's not. He's alive. Well,
yeah,
naked,
Bob's awesome.
But he's for some here. Reason, we call it the Memorial Fart Booth instead of the audio booth.
Karate,
what's up?
Welcome.
Hi, thank
this
you.
This is not his first time on the podcast, everyone.
Yeah, I interrupted last time, I think.
Which was awesome. All right, so we've got a few people to thank. First of all, I wanted to thank Pacifist Games for following us
Rockstar.
On Twitter and suggesting some awesome software that we're going to try out to hopefully fix the audio issues that we've been experiencing.
So our audiophiles out there don't get upset and go, oh my gosh, another podcast straight from an iPhone. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, by the way, Heather.
Yes.
Anyway, do you have anybody else that you want to thank?
Not Karate for coming out and hanging out with us tonight.
No problem.
And taking here. 2 minutes away from League of Legends.
Hey, I didn't know.
That's so important.
That's such a good segue because we want to talk about what we're playing. All right, Karate, what have you been playing this week?
Recently I've been playing League of Legends. I mean, still.
Who
but
doesn't?
Borderlands 2 has been my big
awesome.
My big one.
Awesome.
And I appreciated the image that Karate came up. So yeah, Karate and I, just so you know, Karate and I have been playing Borderlands
play
with
together.
Two other guys, and we've been Skyping the snot out of this thing, and regardless of where we are, all four of us get together, and so all of us are each one of the classes.
I think you mean irregardless.
Oh, don't get started.
It's hilarious.
He did this
is this an English podcast?
Yes. Grammar Nazi.
Grammar Prince.
But
it's always wrong grammar.
Yeah. And so we're all one of the four different classes, and we all play together and have fun. But for some reason, I'm very careless, and so I always get killed, and it's like constantly, Spencer's down again.
We prefer enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. So he changed his Facebook thing, which I totally immediately grabbed, turned it into my wallpaper on my work computer, and my Facebook cover as well. And it shows all four guys. And what does it say?
I think it was, work as a team, play as a team, but that rare gun is mine.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then one of the other guys who plays with us is like, wait a minute, Spencer should be down on the ground instead of standing up.
Oh, man.
So,
that's funny.
And I said I'd get mad at you, but no one would pick me up, so I got to play nice.
Yeah.
It's all
awesome.
Good.
So Borderlands 2.
Yep.
And League of Legends for Karate.
That's
Spencer?
Right.
Borderlands 2 and League of Legends.
Awesome.
We have a lot of variety here in the lab.
We're very open. We're very open as game developers.
I did start playing Dishonored last night.
Oh, did you?
I am jealous. Super jealous.
Yeah, I was watching George play it.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So, I haven't quite finished it yet. I'll let you know.
Did you read the Kotaku article today?
No, I haven't yet.
Awesome! I was very impressed. And so it was someone interviewing, they were interviewing some guys at the development house that built...
Arcane Studios.
Was it? Arcane, yeah. Okay. And they were like, well, there's no multiplayer. What the heck, guys? Mm. And they're like, we never considered it. We designed this. This was planned as a single-player experience. And they're like, well, what about your publisher? And they're like, Bethesda was so cool that they never pressured us once to consider multiplayer because we never pitched it as multiplayer. And so, like, it was exciting because, like, you would think a publisher go, we can get so much more money in the multiplayer. It has to be in the game. But because Arcane said, this is how it is, this is a single-player experience, it's really exciting to have both the publisher and the developer agree on that topic instead of going, no, we can make so much more money, even though it'll degrade the experience or it'll cause so much complications, level design will be a completely different issue.
Well, yeah. It was really interesting because, like, EA recently, you know, said they're not doing any games without multiplayer at all. And so
you're kidding.
Yeah, wow. There was a really big article. They said there's only multiplayer games. If their game has single player, that's great, but they're always going to have multiplayer because of that longevity, I guess, and DLC stuff. But what's funny is to see another studio to say, you know what? No, we're okay, single player, because like it's an amazing game on its own. Like,
it's wonderful,
and you don't multiplayer would just ruin it. It doesn't need it.
Yeah.
So actually, I want to talk about that a little bit with EA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that negative that they're only focusing on multiplayer?
Mm.
What do you think?
I wonder. Like, I mean, you look at. I mean, the new Dead Space 3 hasn't come out yet. I'm a huge fan of that franchise, Dead Space 1 and 2. I don't think the multiplayer in Dead Space 2 hurt the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it helped the game.
Okay.
But the new one's going to be co-op, and it's going to completely change that like fear-induced experience that they're going with simply because it's EA and we're now going to have a multiplayer game throughout the entire thing.
So do you think that's going to... It's obviously going to change the dynamic. Mm-hmm. But do you think it's changing it for... the worst?
It just announced it, so I guess we'll see. But, like, I mean, if you notice, like, I don't know if you play Mass Effect 3.
No.
No, not yet.
I have not played games for a long time.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. You played Mass Effect 3.
Which is crazy.
Just me.
I played half of the first one.
It's okay.
No, I got sucked into World of Warcraft for a while.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Well, but that's a great thing. Like, I played with
Barbie dolls for boys, basically.
Oh, well, that's... No, like, World of Warcraft is interesting because it is a multiplayer-only environment, and it's not a bad thing. It's made a game geared around multiplayer. But would you think, like, if you put a single-player-only entire story in there...
Oh, that could be awesome.
Would that help it, or would that hurt it? What do you think?
That's a good question.
Would it ruin the whole point of the game because everything's about, you know, engaging other people, or...?
I don't think so, personally, because... The way I play World of Warcraft, I just play by myself. Because with wife and kids, you know, there's very few times where I can actually devote hours and hours to go play with somebody else. And if I don't want to ruin their experience because I might have to log out at the drop of a hat, you know?
Right.
So the way I play World of Warcraft, it's almost a single-player experience.
Mm-hmm. It's Skyrim. I mean, isn't Skyrim a big World of Warcraft for single-player use? You know?
That's a good question. I haven't played games for a while. I got sucked into World of Warcraft for a while, so I don't
play
really
League.
Play
games.
It's yeah, we'll jump right after this.
Guess how I played League of Legends? Not as a multiplayer game.
Bots.
Yeah.
Bots.
I got to the point
where I could beat the... game, in quotations, in like minutes.
When I do air quotes, when I do air quotes. Trent has to specify.
I do. Awesome. So let me ask you the same question in kind of a different way.
Sure.
For EA as a publisher, is it bad for them to focus solely on? Or is it bad for us as gamers for them to focus solely on multiplayer? And the reason that I ask that is because, first of all, it narrows their focus down so that they're only focusing on this one part. Doesn't that just open up the gates for all of these other studios to start picking up those single-player games?
Yeah.
Is that bad or is that good?
Because EA has had some wonderful single player games over the years.
Sure.
Dragon Age was all single player. We talked about Mass Effect, Dead Space. And these are franchises that excelled because of their excellent single player campaigns. They didn't succeed because of the multiplayer. Now, there's games that did that. Madden, you know, sports games always thrive on their multiplayer because that's what it's all about.
Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, sure, like way back in the day.
Dude.
What's up, up top?
Getting retro over here. Boom.
That's right. Heck yeah.
High fives, I'm sure, translate very well.
Yeah, I think they can hear them. Right? Okay. You can hear them? Okay, good.
Those are both good high fives as well. Good job, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Like, I think Hayden Christensen totally ruined it, and I'll blame George Lucas too, but, you know, only Sith dealing with absolutes. and I believe that long before bonehead totally replaced Ghost Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. Bitter about that.
You know which bonehead it was.
Yeah, we know. We know.
Yeah, didn't we just talk about that?
Yep.
Yeah. So, bonehead. So, anyways, like, I definitely believe that just in personal philosophy that saying I always will do this, I never will do this, can really cause some complications because you're pigeonholing yourself. And so, in a way, I go, well, yay, you might be doing yourself a disservice, but you're also allowing yourself to focus on something, and it just means you're not going to get other shares of the pie, and it's kind of confusing being as big as you are. But
doesn't it just mean that the games that they're focusing on are going to have, hopefully, the best multiplayer?
Hopefully. We'll see.
You know?
Old Republic.
Old Republic, I mean, no offense to any Old Republic guys. I played it for a few weeks, and it was pretty much World of Warcraft in space. Mm-hmm. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. It just doesn't bring anything new to the table. I mean, it may have brought a few new
in
tools.
Space.
but they should have put it.
You're not in space. You're sitting on a planet. You're sitting on another planet.
They should have put an extreme at the end.
Down a tunnel.
You know? Really? I haven't played. I got sucked into this thing called World of Warcraft. So I haven't really played games for a long time.
So imagine World of Warcraft with Jedi.
And with lightsabers.
Space.
Okay, so I don't understand how this is not awesome.
It's because it's exactly the same thing.
You get new costumes, which is the whole reason that I played World of Warcraft. I mean, that's the reason anybody plays World of Warcraft is to dress up their Barbie.
But that's an interesting trend. Like, not the Barbie thing. But like what's wrong with that? Like, the new Call of Duty is coming out soon.
Sure.
And they made a really big deal about the fact that they changed a lot of the things. They changed the loadout system. They changed a lot of the elements of the game in order to make it better. Now, if the original was good, you have to progress. Mm-hmm. If you're not progressing, you know, you're stagnating, at least to me. Like that's the way it feels to me. So, like, what's wrong with it being exactly the same? Well, I already have the first one. Why am I paying $60 to do it again?
You know? Well, I did actually
zombies in it.
Oh, then you're good.
Then
we're good.
It's a totally different game.
That's it.
Totally side note. Giordano is this guy that he's like the EP for Bejeweled series at EA.
Oh, PopCap?
Yeah, PopCap. And he's
when you say EP, what do you mean?
Executive producer. Totally perfect. Wicked awesome guy. I've met him a couple times at a conference, and then I follow him on Twitter. And today he's at GDC Online, which I'm jealous I'm not at. But
Down in Texas.
Right. And he posted a tweet that he's quoting it. I don't know who he's quoting, but I'll credit him. But it says, every game has to go through the phase where they include zombies in it. and that really hits close to home, and we were dying when I read that out in the studio today because everyone's like, oh my gosh. I mean, we spent like almost a month with our game in zombie mode. And we're going to have zombies. It's going to be the greatest game. And
zombie day drop.
And I am absolutely surprised that your game, Karate. Karate's a producer on another team. In our studio, and it has nothing to do with zombies, and it's never had anything to do with zombies. I don't know. You run a tight ship.
I think we are zombies at this point. So yeah. I think, you know, we've been constantly in that transition.
Awesome. Yeah. So I was dying when he posted that. And, anyways, okay. Call of Duty. Don't add zombies.
It just seems like it. You know, if you're not progressing, you're stagnating, and you're going to see your customers go somewhere else. Because they want something new, even if it's familiar, it's got to be familiar with a twist.
Okay, so
don't you open up avenues for new customers with multiplayer?
Well, multiplayer, like, the thing is, it's got to change. Like, that's the thing. Like, Call of Duty is all about the multiplayer. It has a single player in there, but multiplayer
does it? Does it?
It does.
All right. Let us know how many of you have actually played the single player in Call of Duty. Already put your hand down.
Even better, I don't like multiplayer in Call of Duty. I play it for the campaign because I think their stories are decent.
Nerd alert. And,
I'm
just kidding.
No, when Ghost died, I was legitimately upset.
Yeah. Oh, spoiler alert.
When Roach died, I was like, finally?
He died so many times.
He died too many times. You totally lost any emotion about
playing
the third
as Roach
or fourth time. Yeah, and he like dies,
and then
someone else is like, oh, let's carry him around for half the mission, and you have to protect
him. Soap. That's Soap.
Oh, no, Soap. That's right. Soap dies. Yeah,
that's Soap and
Roach, Creek. Everyone dies.
I should probably play more games, right? There was this thing called World of Warcraft.
Just as an aside, like we play games a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I get a little too hefty. Like, I like playing just about everything I can get my hands on. And so I know a lot about a lot about a lot. And so
I know a lot about games from, like, an ancillary perspective, not actually playing games.
Sure.
Like, I just started playing Bastion last night.
Oh, I love that game.
I love that game,
How far did you get?
I got to... I have not been able to get 64 on the, what is it called, the Bonebreaker challenge?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway, so I got through the first, like, two levels.
Has he commented when you fell off yet?
Oh, like 15 times.
But it's like one of my favorite things when he like, the very first time he goes, and then he fell to his death. No, I'm just kidding. But it was amazing because he only says that one time, and... If he had said it over and over, it would have gotten really boring. I would have hated it. But because he only said it once, I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
And I remembered that line forever.
Well, and you see yourself, like, falling off, and you've got no control, and you're like, what? I just fell to my death? And then you just, like, fall and smack.
That
and then you're like, oh.
Makes that game.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's definitely a very cool game.
Anyway, I've been catching up on my Humble...
Oh, the bundle.
Oh, gosh.
Should we talk about the bundle?
No, I don't want to talk about the bundle, because I've got... I looked, and I have over 100 games from the bundles and from the sales, the sale this summer, and I think I've had 3 open.
So around the studio, the bundle email goes out, and it gets sent over and over and over, and it goes cross-past, and everyone's talking about it, and everyone buys it, and we talk to each other, like, 2 weeks later. How many has played any of those games? Well, I played the ones I had already played.
Yeah.
That's it. I have them.
Yeah.
They're sitting on my Steam, just
Braid.
You know.
Just Braid.
I love Braid.
Yeah.
I love like Braid too, as well. But
I'm glad that you're here.
You're not a fan of Braid?
I like Braid. I just can't think hard enough to solve half the puzzles, so I just rush through it, and I'm like, that's the ending? And then I realize that that's not the ending. The ending is
solving all the puzzles. Oh, the ending's so good.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's definitely
so
very
good.
Oh, gosh.
But it's Jean Below, so... We were gonna gripe about that later. In a minute.
Okay.
Were we gonna gripe?
I don't know.
Or were you gonna gripe?
Well done.
We're going to discuss.
We're gonna discuss. Okay, back to good choice, bad choice of multiplayer.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, so here's what I've got a buddy that he got me into Borderlands like 4 weeks before Borderlands 2 came out, and so we were playing it on his Xbox. And I'm a good friend. So first-person shooters, I actually have a hard trouble with, because most people want to do the multiplayer, and I don't. I like the campaigns. I would rather go through a story. And co-op is a really easy way to satisfy the multiplayer-ness of some people and playing a co-op.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so he's like, hey, let's play, you know. So I've played Gears of War with him, and then I played Borderlands. I'm like, dude, this game is awesome. The RPG element is so fun. And then I get Borderlands 2, and I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. And then last night, or the night before, I played Borderlands with him for a couple hours. And I was like, oh, can you do this? He's like, no. Why do you think you can do that? I was like, oh, that's in Borderlands 2. That's right. And then, like,
In Borderlands, you can't do that, huh?
Yeah, well, no, and I didn't mean...
In my game.
I didn't mean to do that, but at the same time, like, the UI is a flippin' mess in the first game.
Oh, it got compared.
It is a mess
they
and a
really
half. We're playing on an Xbox, so we're playing split screen, and so like if you've ever done that on Borderlands, you have to use one of your analog sticks to move half the menu in view. It's atrocious. It's like, really, you guys did not plan this out at all.
I hated playing split screen.
I just played it on
PC.
Yeah, again, by myself.
That's okay. No, to be
the
honest,
first week between World War
II. I played the first Borderlands by myself.
Yeah.
I played as the soldier or commander, whichever one
he's
called.
The turret.
As a turret guy.
He played as the guy that carried around the turret, which does all the work.
The turret.
Well, I played as the guy
nothing wrong with admitting
around the cat
help.
Bat that did all the work.
The cat bat?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was called.
Oh, the bird?
The bird. The cat bat.
The cat bat.
I don't know.
I like the cat bat.
It was cool.
Can we rename this the cat bat?
In the second one, you have to fight. You
bat.
Have to fight the cat bat. Spoiler alert!
Yeah, totally.
Oh, you totally spoiled it. Sorry, unhear that part. We're gonna cut that.
I forgot. Oh, this is totally. And halfway through Dishonored. No, just kidding.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
I haven't played it. I don't know.
You have to kill people.
You have to. You get a soul.
Next, you're gonna be talking about games of. Game of Thrones spoilers.
Oh, dude.
This I will any? Delete the podcast if you do. All right.
Have you read the books at all?
Yes. Okay. I haven't actually watched the show.
Oh, okay, that's all
there
I've
was
done.
This thing that I got really into called
World of Warcraft. I heard about it.
Yeah.
That popular.
I got to
I'm
the third.
I'm lucky that
I've heard. It's kind of a niche market, that game, what I've heard.
What?
World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty,
yeah.
It's a limited.
It's not the biggest game in the world anymore.
No.
I heard it was at one point.
Oh, gosh. You know what it is?
You know what it is?
You know what it is?
No.
Call of Duty.
League of Legends.
Oh, yeah. That was stupid that I even went.
Well, I heard Minecraft is actually like second or third now.
They're pretty close.
It's not a game. But
is it not a game?
Technically, it's not. Technically, it's a toy.
Yeah.
There's no real objectives. There's no real
goal.
There's no real limits to what you can and can't do.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you win Minecraft?
Well, okay. So, I don't know if you know this, but I've actually won World of Warcraft multiple times.
You can
you
win
just
World
quit.
Warcraft.
You quit.
Anyway. If you turn it off, you beat the game.
Yeah. So, there's no...
I guess there's a win state in Minecraft.
There's no real win, like, you don't win the game, but... There's definitely points where you have success, you are rewarded for investing your time.
It's
there's rules. There's yeah.
You create your own objectives.
So,
which is so interesting.
Maybe it's a toy, not necessarily a game.
Yeah.
There's game elements.
Sure.
Right.
It's funny because they added that you can lose the game.
Okay.
But you come right back.
Yeah.
Like there's little consequence for it. I get unless you lose all your stuff, which is kind of crappy.
Yeah.
But that can be avoided by not going straight down into lava.
But
you want to destroy what you build.
Honestly, you could sit in the same place.
I haven't actually played Minecraft.
On top of a mountain and do nothing. So there's this
World of Warcraft, yeah.
Minecraft's this game. Well, sort of. With blocks.
Well, and
it's also in Borderlands.
It's a piece of software.
Oh, brain bomb.
There's a Minecraft.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I need to find it. You told me you got it.
And it was hilarious. Agnar and I found it the other night, and we were like, "Oh my gosh!"
Oh, gosh, that's awesome. There's actually this guy I've been following, Always Geeky, on Twitter.
Cool.
And he's developing a game called Vox, which is voxel-based Minecraft, but RPG elements. And so you can actually actually rank up your player, and I'm guessing he's got some sort of goals so that it's
more
game-like. But I'm actually really interested in it. And then there's one on Kickstarter.
I totally
funded it. No, it just came out a couple days ago.
Oh, Dices.
Dices.
Is it that 3D one?
It's first-person shooter meets RTS
that
in a voxel-based
game. You can change
game.
The... Oh, no.
Are you thinking of Pangea?
Honorog was showing me that the other day. It was a game that you could terraform the world as a shooter, and you could, like, completely make new mountains or make valleys.
Whoa.
Or, like, you could do all kinds of crazy stuff. It was Minecraft in a 3D rendered environment.
Oh, but very boxy,
No, it was just, it was, you know.
It's not...
Not
real,
but close.
Did it come out a few years ago?
It's not the Lucasfilm one.
Yeah, whatever. What was that called?
Well, I
know what you're talking
about. It's Lucas. Let's not bring it up.
Hey. Oh.
Somebody who's listening, tell us what we're talking about.
Why do I always sound like the fanboy?
I know you're talking about.
I was like, hey, come on. Be nice.
Because you were trapped in some game called World of Warcraft for a while.
That game had some great ideas, and I really wanted it to go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
me
like,
too.
The idea of, like, changing the environment to adjust things was interesting. But, unfortunately, it was all very instance-based. So you'd walk up. Move this one thing. Okay, move forward. And then move this one thing. That's it. And so, like, it was the same thing that Inversion recently had the same problem. Because they had this mechanic where you could change the gravity of things, but it was very instance heavy. So that, unfortunately, you could only change it in certain areas. Uh-oh. So instead, you're just basically using it to move to the next stage.
So it's like the anti-portal. You're,
it's, well, yeah. It's keys.
Yeah, what you want in Inversion, you want a gravity gun. Yeah. That's you. You want the Half-Life 2 gravity gun where you can just, like, and chuck somebody into space because you turned off their gravity, you know?
Yeah.
So there's this, I don't know, do you guys read Brandon Sanderson?
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, he does.
Only because Wheel of Time, he took over Wheel of Time series. Yeah. Finally.
Oh, man.
I love Robert Jordan, but...
Who doesn't?
He needed to die.
No. No, wow, come on. All right, I'm going to be a fanboy.
His comments are not endorsed.
I rescind. That was bad. He needed to pass that on somehow.
There you go.
And he wasn't going to do it unless he died.
I would agree with you on that.
It's terrible.
No, he didn't need to die. He needed to pass that series on to someone, because it's one of my favorite series of books of all time. But, man, he... does not know what closure is. So.
Have you read Game of Thrones?
The series is never going to end. Like,
well,
they're just
going
to keep on going to different characters and alternate.
Is he worse than Robert Jordan then?
No.
Okay,
although, I correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
Not book three. Book three was awesome.
Well, spoiler alert, I'm going to put my ears.
No, it's not a spoiler at all. Okay. Book four and book five, did those seem like... each of them being one-third of the fourth book?
Yeah. They're like, well, I mean, I think you talked about that at one point. He talked about how, like, he was going to write one, but he's like, no, I'm going to put all these other ones. Because book four introduced all these new characters that I didn't care anything about. And like,
although it was still
honest,
kind of awesome.
It is.
It's kind of like
Game of Thrones.
It's kind of like
it,
book five in...
Wheel of Time.
Yes. Where there's still awesome stuff happening, but it really starts to drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when he got back into five, I'm like, oh, good, all right, like my guys are back, you know, and I felt like I was coming home again because like last I was like I barely got through four.
So, and
Brandon Sanderson
and I did as well. We'll get back to it.
So quick segue.
I did it as well with book four. Mm-hmm. Actually, it wasn't that hard to get through because it was still George R. R. Martin. It was still Westeros and you know everything, but. Reading it, I was like, there's no end to this, you know? And he said, and this is not a spoiler because it's well known, he said, oh, yeah, I was writing the book, it got too big, I split it up into two, this is the first half, in 6 months I'm going to release the second half. 5.5 years later, finally the second half came through, and it really...
We're talking the second half is
of
second,
that one,
book five?
Of book four.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really convoluted.
Yeah.
But... I read book five, which is also awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm not done with
it. But the ending did not wrap up nearly as much as I was expecting for a novel. So it felt to me like the fourth book was the first third. The fifth book was the second third. And there's one more that needs to happen to continue the story to the point where that storyline is completed.
Well, thinking narratively, I mean, this is more just... we're going farther aside. We'll get back to games in a second.
This is what we do when you're not here, so I'm not,
so,
I'm not concerned.
Yeah. No, but I wonder...
The listeners love it. And we love you guys.
Because you know that, like, they made the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be a series that goes on.
Okay, my fingers are well and truly crossed. I think I know where you're going with this. Continue.
Okay. Now, it's interesting that it's a TV show and not a movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, movies, we saw in Lord of the Rings, you can do, like, huge epic battles and awesome things and stuff like that. And they did that in the books, but you have to avoid that in HBO because they only have a limited budget. You're working with a TV show. Okay. You
which
can't have a huge army.
They actually...
They've
Bush's
talked
head.
About it in two.
They've actually... So, when I was working... I worked for Sensory Sweep Studios.
Okay.
And when I was working there, there was this guy who... Well, two guys that I would always talk to about Game of Thrones, because we all loved it. Mm-hmm. One of them's name was Jason Santee, and he actually gave me the preliminary script for, like, the pilot script for Game of Thrones, and read it, and it was awesome.
Season one?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway.
Totally called that guy out, by the way.
what?
He's busted.
Oh, no.
Sorry, boss.
It was years and years ago. But we also talked about Deadwood, which is awesome. Yeah. Love Deadwood. But
I heard it's quite good.
It ended very abruptly, and so did Rome at the time.
Yep.
Anyway, so the rumor was, well, and I'm pretty sure it's true, that the reason that they canceled those was because they wanted to do Game of Thrones, but it would be such a huge budget
Interesting.
That they needed to cancel these other two shows
Wow.
to do it. Oh, man. Deadwood is amazing. It's the slowest thing I've ever watched, but it's so intense.
Wasn't Deadwood the
Western with Timothy Oliphant?
Yeah, the Western. Yeah.
Yeah, which was awesome. Hitman.
Oh, Hitman.
Yeah.
No, I guess, well, my point, I guess, was like because of the way that Martin has written his books, this kind of episodic nature mm-hmm. to the storytelling in the TV series makes a lot of sense
mm-hmm.
because he can keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's going to keep going and going and going.
Well, and okay, so here's my hope. Here's why my fingers are crossed. My hope is that with the TV series continuing, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon, the only thing that would hold it back
will be getting the
other is books. Getting the other books out. Yeah. So what I'm hoping is this helps him refocus and continue producing awesome stories. They're amazing.
Yeah.
You should definitely read them.
They're on my queue. They're definitely on my queue of things to read.
Awesome. Okay, anyway. So, we were talking about inversion, gravity-changing mechanics.
Sure.
So, Brandon Sanderson, who wrote Mistborn, which was awesome, has another book called Way of Kings. Anybody read Way of Kings?
On my queue.
Sorry.
Okay. I had to listen to it in audiobook at 3x speed, and it took me like 3 weeks to get through.
Oh, my gosh. Man.
Yeah.
It's a long book.
So, it is, and it's an awesome book, and it sets up a ton of interesting things that I'd like to see continue, but I don't know that I could actually read it, because it's long, and it's not written in a way that, I hate to say this, makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So he just kind of throws you into this world, and you slowly start discovering it. Anyway, what's really interesting is there's a character in there who can change gravity and does quite frequently, and he's awesome. Anyway, I don't know why. Oh, yeah, we were talking about inversion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I agree. You want to be able to just do it anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, anyway.
Yep. Anyway. I mean, obviously, you got to worry about, like, balancing mechanics. You want to make it too easy for the player to do it every time. Like, there's a reason Half-Life 2 only gave you the gravity gun once. You know, yeah. Only in one level, it's an enclosed area, it's the most powerful weapon you've ever seen, but you only get it for a limited amount of time and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's good because they take all your weapons away, you're weak, and all of a sudden you're empowered. Bam, here you go. Yeah. It's just one thing. And so inversion, I think if they had explored growing that mechanic over time,
mm-hmm.
eventually you become this gravity god who can do whatever you want, then that'd be awesome. You know, and then, like, shut you down at the end. You have this epic climactic battle with this other person that has gravity. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. But
yeah.
Well, they did that with Half-Life. I mean, they give you the gravity gun halfway through the game, and you get to play with it, right? And there's some tasks that you can only do with the gravity gun.
Right.
But then at the end, they're like, okay,
the ultimate.
Let me show you what this is.
Yeah.
You know, let's open
Uber
this
gun.
Baby up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, yeah, I mean, that's definitely what Inversion kind of missed out on was, like, okay, same old thing. I mean, it's running's fun, but I mean, Mario Brothers, you get to jump the entire time through, but the way that you have to jump through things mm-hmm. gets difficult and more challenging every time, so that it feels like you're jumping differently every time.
I mean, we've talked about balancing, you know, in our classes and whatnot. It's just, it's okay to have a limited number of mechanics. If the player knows he can do this couple of things, that's great, because they'll master that. You move on to the next level, here's something we're going to throw at you that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fire pit. Here's, you know, growing things out of the pipes.
Yeah, so this actually kind of takes me back to the EA discussion we were having earlier.
Right.
Like, yeah, they have a very limited scope in what they do, you know, but it's the way that they do that with their multiplayer games that that I'm really interested to see what happens with it. Interested to see what other publishers start to step up. I've been a Ubisoft fanboy for a long time.
Assassin's Creed's coming out next month, man.
What is?
When? Assassin's Creed.
Three.
So I haven't actually been playing Assassin's Creed.
There's this thing called World of Warcraft.
I've heard of
that game, yeah.
What's your character? We'll have to go to raid or something.
I started Atara on the other night.
Because we had to.
Because we had to.
Good.
I'll be honest. I'm not really a huge MMO fan. Like, Borderlands, it gets me because I love shooting. Mm-hmm. I love looting. I love getting new stuff and upgrading characters. And
green lights.
All that stuff.
I respond positive to green lights. What are you going to do?
I do.
But
that's unfortunately, funny. MMOs, the actual gameplay doesn't engage me. Mm-hmm. And so I lose interest fast.
You mean running around from one monster to the next and pushing buttons?
Have you played as a Tauron yet?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so I want to make this break real fast. Okay, so this is the opening area, and I went up and I'm playing, and I'm like, there's a big open field with a couple of trees here and there. They're having a war or something, you know, like they're fighting the little creatures.
Are they gnolls?
The pig-looking creatures.
Sure, they're gnolls and creatures.
I don't know.
I think they're gnolls.
This is the beginning area, the starting area.
I haven't played in a long time. I played when it was, like, they were in teepees.
Yeah,
and
it's in the same area.
They had, but you like went over and they weren't. Oh, the Quillbores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're all fighting. Okay.
Alert.
And so I run over there to keep fighting them, and I'm like, okay, this one guy, this big guy, the size of a truck, is fighting these three little pigs this tall, and he can't fight them. Like, he can't beat them. And I run over to him and go, wham, 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 dead. Wham, wham, wham. I'm like, you guys are the worst soldiers ever. And then, like, go rescue those guys. They're captured. So I walk through the entire battlefield unmolested. I don't get touched. Like, everyone ignores me as I walk
through. Because you got to pull aggro, duh. Everybody knows that.
Unlock. It's like, why has nobody done this yet? You are the dumbest soldiers in the world.
Yeah. Wasn't there a quest like, hey, that guy got kidnapped over there?
Yeah.
You turn camera, you're like, you mean that guy?
The guy you can see right there? Yep.
Go get him.
Okay. Thank you.
Take luck.
Oh, I got XP. Awesome. It's just, because Borderlands has very similar quests. I mean,
there's tons of fetch quests.
It's funny, go get this one thing for me. Awesome. But the whole time, I'm like, I'm diving for cover, I'm throwing a turret out, I'm firing, you know, laser bullets with corrosive, you know, on them. And
you mean you're throwing a turret out? Let's be honest.
I'm doing both.
Throwing a turret out, waiting until it nukes the area.
Oh, gosh, it's so awesome. Oh, I just unlocked that. It's unbelievable. No offense to Spence, but I don't go down very often.
No, he doesn't. Well, that's because you've got a turret taking all the aggro.
I know, but that's the
His
point.
His turret's the best guy on our team.
The turret's the tank. You throw the tank out, he takes all the damage, and you just mop it all. But even with the turret out, Spencer goes down. You see what I'm saying?
So, Spencer, I have no comment. I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
What do you play in Borderlands?
I play this only because they're like, no one's the assassin. Spencer, play the assassin. I'm like, okay. I don't know what he does. Snipers, all right. Which is kind of nice for me because I'm...
So, wait. His focus is sniping?
No.
And you're getting killed?
No, here's the stupidest part of this class. You either build him as a sniper build or a melee build. Or a hybrid. And so it's like, okay, either I'm in the melee, I'm right up there hitting things without using guns, or I'm really far back.
Shooting things with guns?
And so it's
not
like,
dying?
So like, no, but then the sniper ammo has the least amount of ammo that you can carry at any given time.
That's because it's the most powerful.
You would think that.
Well, except, except if somebody gets like a gold gun, then obviously...
Orange gun. Come on, man.
Get the orange guns.
No, but even then, a powerful sniper still takes like 5 or 6 rounds. So if I can only carry like 112 rounds. So what is that? 25 characters? 25 people that I can kill with a sniper. Then all of a sudden I'm
Sounds
stuck.
Sounds like 125 to me.
No. It takes like 5 rounds to kill a character.
Oh, you're not hitting him in the head?
Even with headshots.
I one-shot guys with my sniper rifle all the time. That's the way it's done.
So maybe I should get Borderlands and become an assassin and kind of
and show me what. Yeah. Maybe I need to learn how to.
Maybe
do
I need
it.
To take splinters.
This is how I play. I'm just telling you how I play. Thanks for criticizing me. But this is how I play. And then all of a sudden I'm out of sniper armor. Like, well, I guess I better get closer and shoot him with something that has worse accuracy. Well, let me go start meleeing because I do have some melee skills. And then, I'm down. Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of that character.
Maybe you should just find some ammo.
It is pretty interesting. Like,
and actually, that's why Karate and I invited you onto the podcast tonight, because this is actually an intervention.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, you can't shoot without bullets, Spencer. The Necromancer just came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It came out today. It came out a week early, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
I'm amazed with Gearbox. Like, these guys, they just rushed that out. But I was playing with it on my Xbox before I came over here. I got to, like, level 6, just enough to throw out Death Trap. He's amazing.
Well, and I hear he's amazing. Isn't he the girlfriend mode? I mean, BFF mode?
No, there is. Oh, the whole girlfriend mode.
But, I mean, isn't he the character that's intentionally meant to be
really easy?
There's
a three trees.
Yeah.
You know, and so only one of the trees is meant for that.
Oh,
and it's,
okay.
My roommate and I, we were looking through the tree, and it's amazing because a lot of the points are very survival-based. If your health is low, your shields regen faster. If your weapon is fully loaded, you regenerate health.
Are you kidding me?
If your weapon is half empty, then your reload speed goes up. Like, there's so many things that it just encourages that player who goes down a few more often than others to not go down as often.
You know what's funny is I know I'm not that good. I'm nowhere near up to the rest of the guy on our team, but I still feel that's patronizing. I still feel like, okay, that's cheap, man. I at least like going down a little more.
The thing is, I grabbed that turret early because I know my play style, and I like having something that I can, you know, something in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Something you can go, okay, trump card.
Back pocket, it's your freaking shield, man.
It's both. I keep on adjusting it over and over to find that, like, what I like. That just recently, when I throw it out, it throws a nuke.
So
it nukes the entire area.
that's pretty awesome. So I actually found something out about myself, the way that I play recently, is I go in, like, guns a-blazing, like, charge the gates. Mm-hmm. Like, I just run in and die. So I'm very much like you. I really do well with, like, high health and, you know, like,
tanking.
Like, really just, I can take a lot of beating. And that's a really good way for me to play. I also really like to kind of sit back and snipe. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's weird. So, like, I either like to be really safe from a distance, or I like to be really safe up close and personal.
Yeah. Well, no, League of Legends is a really interesting way. I think you could almost psychologically analyze people based on which heroes they play.
Ooh. This is a question that we're going to ask in a minute.
We're going to have to do that later, because this is running over an hour and this is going to get way too long. But,
oh, yeah.
But
all right, you have to edit this later.
Oh, gosh.
No editing.
Yeah, we don't edit. Edit, schmedit.
Rock on.
It's going to be up in like 2 hours.
Yeah, but I find myself playing ranged characters.
Mm-hmm.
High, heavy damage, but really, really squishy.
The glass cannon?
Yeah, the glass cannon. And actually, one of the characters, all she carries is a cannon under her arm. And that's like one of my favorite
characters. Kristana!
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But then I've been playing heavy hitters that you can get into. And I, you know, usually I'm just nervous about getting in the melee. And so, but I've found a couple characters that I feel comfortable doing that with. Karate.
I love being in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you do nothing but just. You're either a tank or a tank that can hit.
I like to bruise. I like to be a bruiser character. Garen's my run. But just because I like to deal damage, but I like being in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Taking a bunch of hits, but making them pay for those hits as much as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I do play Caitlyn well, but I'm not as good. Like, I mean, counter to Spencer, like, I'm okay. I'm a pretty good Caitlyn,
mm-hmm.
but I have a really hard time being out of the fight. when I'm not like in the middle of it all, I'm like just like I'm picking, and I get that last final sniper shot.
You know, I and even if I am a bruiser, I never engage first. I'm always waiting until someone's kind of beating them down, and then I jump in and do the last couple hits. You know, and then I'm out.
Yeah,
and that's usually how I'm in the foray. And so you know, you could almost find psychologically why people do mages, range, not range, and all those different things.
Which
in that game,
that's what we'll talk about later.
We'll have to. Do
I just wanted to know what you guys play.
Yeah. I play bruisers, tanks, and then in range if I have to.
It was actually League of Legends that taught me that I really like to sit back and snipe or get up close and personal.
Yep.
But I'm not very... I always die to turrets.
Oh, well, who doesn't?
Nibbler!
Turrets OP!
Totally. Yeah, turrets are so OP.
You gotta nerf those turrets in the game.
Turrets!
One of these days. Yeah. Well, you haven't played it since. Now, if you get hit by the turret, a little icon floats above your head, and it pings you. So it's... I'm like, they're giving every chance they can to you. Like, listen, you're under a turret.
You know what's great about League of Legends is how they teach you, like, stay away from the turrets, and, like, use them to your advantage. Anyway, I like League of Legends.
It's well, interesting. We could analyze Dota 2 yet?
No.
I haven't.
So, like...
More like boring... Boar fence of the Bornchants.
We're going to come with a right
high five.
I don't know. No high five for that one.
I have a guy that I used to work with who would just play Dota all the time.
On Warcraft Dota. Yeah,
yeah, and he was ridiculously good. And so nobody would... I was intimidated to play with him. Anyway, so... that's
okay. Dota
that's
2. Why
I
do that.
Well, okay. So
I call everything.
One of my friends in the studio had me playing Dota 2 the other day, and I've been playing League for a year, you know, and I've gotten I like to think I'm okay. I'm at least pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And so I came into Dota thinking, okay, I know how this game is supposed to work. Everything that seems like it should work doesn't work in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have been...
In
Dota 2. Everything that I learned in League is completely thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Because, like, the turrets don't work the same, the characters don't work the same, the menu system obviously is completely different, but it's, like, weirdly different. It's, like, built for the guys who only played Dota. Whereas, like, League of Legends really took the time to figure out how to streamline this so it can be a competitive environment. If that makes
sense, you know?
And so it was just... I mean, maybe if I played a little more, I'd get used to it, but it just... League drew me in the first time I played it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I came in as like, I like this game. I'm not great at it, but I like it. I understand. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Dota, I'm completely lost. You know?
Do you think that's because you've been playing League so much, or just because it's difficult to pick up?
Well, okay, I play a lot of shooters. If I pick up a new shooter, I'm not lost when I'm playing the shooter.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I understand, and when I was playing... You know, I played a little bit of WoW. Then I played Tor, the Old Republic. I was
nerd alert.
Yeah, if you're on this podcast, it's a nerd alert. You know.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good point.
But like, I wasn't lost. I knew where all the little things were. I knew what I was supposed to be doing. It's like, okay, there's that. I'm supposed to go to that goal and whatnot. But Dota, no idea what's going on. So
did you go through tutorials and?
I tried.
Really?
You know, and it's just we were playing AI and getting our asses kicked. Like, it wasn't even close.
See, when I played League, I was introduced to League about 3 years ago. A buddy of mine was way hardcore into it, and he said I had to quit because my wife said I was just getting too angry all the time. And I thought, that's a good reason to quit something.
Yep.
So he won. He beat League.
He beat League.
But he's like, you got to check it out. And he pulled up. At the time, we didn't have spectating, and so someone was videoing their game, and we were watching it while we were working on a project together, and I was like, okay, I've seen Dota. I remember Dota. I remember Warcraft 3. I think I can get this. I get it. And so he's like, just go install it and try it at home. And yeah, I felt completely comfortable as they're like, okay, here, play this introduction level. And I'm like, I get this. I can do this. And I started playing games like, I'm winning. I get this. This is making sense. And yeah, now I'm intimidated to play Dota 2 because I keep watching. I'm like, it looks just like League. But
yeah,
that's going to be an interesting – I maybe now I got to try it to see how badly they – they
it's
deal
free.
With that.
You might as well like give it a shot and like let me know what you think.
I just can't get the beta key. They just won't. They just won't let me in the easy access beta or whatever it is. But anyways, it goes back to something that's really interesting. Is I feel like they're grabbing Dota. They got the name. They fought Blizzard, legally against it. And
fought the law.
Whoever in the law one.
Not in this case, actually. This case. That's the interesting thing. Let's talk about that some more.
Yes. I'm going back to EA and choosing multiplayer, I guess the one fear that I have with that is they're just going to ride whatever franchises they already got, and they're going to pigeonhole the crap out of them to make sure that they're multiplayer friendly.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid totally that that's going to screw them
wait,
over.
Wait, you mean... like they haven't done for the past 20 years?
Well, no, I mean, it's just like putting square pegs in round holes all day. You know, I have nothing against them strictly saying we're only doing multiplayer games. I mean, saying I'm only going to do mobile casual games, that's fine because you're finding your genre and, mm-hmm. and rolling with it. But if you make a big transition from single-player games to multiplayer, then you're like, well, let's just take all these single-player games because we already got the IP and move them into multiplayer games... I hope they put a lot of effort in doing that, because if they just tack on connect to server and then run with it, those games are going to suffer.
The problem that I have with it mostly is that EA is not a developer. They're a publisher. So their publisher money throwing their weight around saying, Visceral, you're going to make a multiplayer game.
BioWare, do it.
You're making a multiplayer game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, what did we just say that Bethesda did?
Yeah. They said,
hey, what do you guys want?
Go for it.
Arcane. All right, guns up.
It's a lack of trust in your developers, I think. This is my own, opinion going all over the place. But it's like, because Dead Space did well without it, without EA's mm-hmm. push. Mm-hmm. And it did well because of that. And then like the next one, no push. Okay, we're going to add a little multiplayer. We're not going to adjust the single player.
Yeah.
Well, it did okay. Okay. But then EA's like, we need to make a lot more money. We're going to tell you what to do.
Yeah,
and that seems like it's going to hurt the creative process.
Do you think Assassin's Creed? I'm not sure about Assassin's Creed 3's multiplayer, because I know the first one didn't have multiplayer.
The second one did, but it was
like completely unrelated.
2.2 did,
right? And they're just 2.1, they made the multiplayer fun, but it was not. I'm going to get this game for the multiplayer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was just kind of a fun add-on. It was really interesting, but it was what made that multiplayer work for me is it worked with the world. It wasn't like, let's take Call of Duty's multiplayer and throw it in Assassin's Creed. If it was just a deathmatch, it would have been terrible. But Assassin's Creed really took the time, figured out, okay, this is what Assassin's Creed's all about. Because, I don't know if you've played this multiplayer yet, because it's amazing.
I know the premise is, basically, you have a target. There's six people on the map. You have a target. They don't know that you're their target.
Yeah.
But you don't know what they look like.
Look like, but you don't know which one they are. Like, you're in a world populated by clones of you.
Right.
Of you and everybody else.
Yeah, and so you're trying to figure out which one they are.
Which one's acting weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. While trying to act like all of the clones of yourself.
Yeah.
You try to stay normal.
I know and which fits the premise of the whole
It's totally Assassin's Creed. And that's why that game works. But had they
It's not just, like you said, it's not just deathmatch. It's not... oh, this is how you do multiplayer. They really took the time and effort to figure out, like you said, what worked for them.
Well, that was the problem with Spec Ops The Line recently. There's they had a multiplayer. The game was amazing. If you haven't played Spec Ops The Line, you should.
Spoiler alert, you should definitely play it. It's awesome.
It's unbelievable. but the multiplayer, it was by a completely different development house, and it's terrible.
Wow,
it's awful. It's just, it has nothing to do with the game at all, and it's just tacked in there because it's checked off the box. And it's awful.
Well, and I think that's
what I'm worried
I wonder
about
if that's the problem with Dota is they got League and they're like, hey, let's take this, before anyone claims it legally, and then they're like, okay, what's working with this and what's not? And they obviously have evolved to something that's worked really efficiently and really effectively. And I think one of the things that gets me every time is like, oh, is there a new hero out this week?
Oh gosh.
Oh my gosh. I spaz out when someone gets a reskin, for crying out loud. Soraka, finally. That doesn't, it's not
so
changing
I just
or
found out,
game mechanics
and it's
at all.
Free to play.
Oh, well,
I just found out that
which is unbelievable.
But isn't Dota 2 going to do that?
So it's like a unicorn lady?
Yes.
Unicorn lady. Horse hooves, for feet.
Zebra feet.
Super weird.
I don't know. I had no idea.
She's
until...
a lot prettier now. She
yeah,
was,
they
she
prettied
was homely.
Her up quite
homely,
a bit.
I think, is the word. Yeah.
I think underfed.
You know what's interesting?
she was like famine struck it, Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I totally got lost with what I was saying. Oh, yeah. I remember when League first came out, it's right when Sensory Sweep was disintegrating, mm-hmm. and so I was looking for jobs, and and there was a posting for artists for Riot. Oh. And I was like, I should send in my stuff, and I never did, and I regret it.
Oh, man.
They're still... Could have been a totally different... Well, I mean, now that they're growing, I would love... I mean, one of my three dream jobs is work at Riot. Yeah. Just because development-wise, seeing how quickly they're pushing out new content every week, mm-hmm. that it's
efficiently.
Efficiently, and I've talked to one of the head producers there when I went to GDC last year, and he's like, 40 hours. And I'm like, no. And he's like, 40 hours. We don't know what crunch is because we know how to schedule things out. And I'm like,
which is awesome.
I want to work for a company that's successful.
Yeah.
And
I want to make a company.
And more than anything, I want to learn how to do it so that whether I stay with them or move on, I want to be able to spread that because man, that's one of my, I guess, fears or banes that I don't want to have to deal with.
Absolutely.
And so,
awesome.
But yeah, so I'm still looking to hire for or work for them, dude. So
if you're listening, Riot, we're looking for jobs.
Jobs, yeah. Producers, we like them.
Call. Yeah.
So
help you out.
Okay, so
hey, let's do an outro intro for Karate because we brought him in and we totally didn't even intro him.
Oh yeah, we forgot.
It's all right.
You got 2 minutes, and then we got to wrap this up because seriously, this is like way too
much. I know. I got to get home.
Yeah,
and post it for all y'all lovely viewers, listeners.
Now you can introduce me next time.
Okay, what?
Next Wednesday.
Oh, secret.
Be ready. Anticipation.
Foreshadowing.
Who was that masked man?
Yes.
Well, we know that it was Karate, but...
Oh, right.
And there's no racial connotation whatsoever like Lone Ranger's having lately, so...
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Next podcast.
Next podcast.
Okay, so... all right. Karate?
Yep.
Do you have anywhere that you want people to follow you? Do you have a Twitter?
I have a Twitter. Karate... It's Karate, KARRATTI. You can look me up online, karate.com, same spelling, on Facebook, on everything. With
everything
that. Find that one name and you'll find me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's two R's, two T's.
More, and an I.
It's and more an grr than the real karate.
And tch.
That's awesome. Do that. All right. Spencer?
Spencer at Spenny Buchanan. I swear I'm going to get a new Twitter handle because every time I'm like spelling it out. SpennieBuchanan. I should get Spenny. I'm going to see if I can get Spenny.
Ooh, yeah.
Rocking the Spenny.
I'm going to check tonight if I can get Spenny, and then we'll just be like, it's at Spenny.
Or Spenny B.
Spenny B.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh.
That's not bad, right?
Good nickname.
Isn't that pretty good?
High fives.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay, question out to anyone if you can solve this problem. I'm... finally got a substantial amount of followers, or what I feel is substantial, and I kind of would hate to have to lose all those.
No, you keep them.
If I change them.
No,
oh,
you keep them.
Oh, I just changed the handle.
You just changed the handle.
Oh, I thought I had to get a whole new account.
Nah, man, you're good to go.
Oh, Spenny Beats changing tonight. That's what it is.
Awesome.
Hopefully.
All right. We'll verify, but if you can't find Spenny B, still use @SpennyBuchanan at least until next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm Trent, and you can find me @Thunderhead_I on Twitter. You can also like Thunderhead Interactive on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ThunderheadGames, all one word. And like us, let us know what you think of the podcast, and hopefully this will be up tonight.
With better levels.
Whoa, significantly better levels.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Love you.
Night.